have your Bible. Turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew. Gospel according to Matthew, now the 13th chapter. We begin our study in Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount. That's one of the five discourses of Jesus. Jesus has five main bodies of teaching in the book of Matthew. And the first is the Sermon on the Mount, and then there is the missions discourse where Jesus challenges his disciples and us to be on mission for him. And now we move to the third discourse, the parabolic discourse in chapter 13, verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and a great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parable, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them, and some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they were immediately sprang up, because they had no depth in the earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, I ask that you would take your word, that you would penetrate our hearts, that you would draw us to your will. Father, that we would have a desire to follow you, to listen to you, to carry out your word. And I thank you, Father, that you are willing to teach us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever been reading along in the Bible and you just say, "Yeah, I got that. Yes, this is great." And then you hit a passage and you say, "What?" Some things in the Bible are right on the surface. They are really easy to be understood. And in those cases, we just get it real good and we're so thankful. But sometimes you get to passages that are a little more difficult. Sometimes you got to know what's going on in order to know what's going on. And this is one of those passages. You really need to have kind of an idea of what goes on in chapter 12 in order to know what's going to go on in chapter 13. Jesus starts off by saying, "This is the same day." Well, you need to know why. What is this the same day of? This was the same day that members of Jesus' family came to him. They waited around on him. I don't think they were very happy with Jesus. They didn't know whether Jesus understood what he was doing, and perhaps they wanted to draw Jesus aside this same day. This was a day that he addressed the leaders of the ministry centers in Israel, those that were supposed to know God's word and be looking for the Messiah, and he addressed them and they did not receive him. In fact, they rejected him. They questioned everything he did and they found fault with it. You know, I have learned, if you come to church looking for problems, you're gonna find them. If you look for things that you don't like, you'll see them. If you come looking for Jesus, you'll find him. And if you come looking for God to change your life, oh, you can experience that. But this on this day, Jesus was rejected by some of the very people he came to save. This day, those that led the religious body decided they needed to kill Jesus. So it was this day. It was this day that Jesus opened up and began to speak in parables. Now, if you read through the Bible, you're going to find some wonderful chapters. You're going to find the faith chapter in the book of Hebrews. In the 12th chapter, there is this listing of people that blessed us and blessed the whole world by their faith in God. They trusted God. They stood on God's word, and they did amazing things. And so one after the other, they are spoken about. And it's faith's hall of fame right there in one chapter. Well, in the 12th chapter of Matthew, we have people that reject Jesus, that don't take Jesus in, that push Jesus away. And I would call it faith's hall of shame. Actually, a faithless hall of shame. And so they turn their back on Jesus. And because of all of this, Jesus begins to speak in parables. Now, a parable is an illustration that's used to reveal some spiritual truths. A parable means to lay alongside. And in truth, it's something you can know, something that's obvious to the sight, laid alongside of a spiritual truth that you may or may not know. God is trying to reveal His truths, but He's doing it in such a way that's different. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Now, you may be sitting there and you may be saying, well, yeah, that's good, but why did Jesus talk in parables? Well, if you're asking that question, you're in good company. That is the same question that the disciples wanted to know. In verse 11, Jesus tells them, because it is given unto you, that is the disciples, that is us as believers, it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, those that reject God, those that reject Jesus, those that reject the truth, it is not given. God gives His word to those that will receive it. God gives His word to those that will grow by it. That God gives His truths to those that can be blessed and those that can be a blessing. He uses this phrase, mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. A mystery in the Bible is not a whodunit. A mystery in the Bible is a truth that you could not know or understand unless God Himself unveiled it to you. There were things that the Old Testament prophets wanted to know, would want to understand, but they could not because it had not been revealed to them as yet. In verse 17, it says, verily I say to you, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things and haven't seen them, and to hear what you hear and haven't heard them. A lot of things are common to us today. We know a lot of things about the Bible that those disciples did not know. They didn't have the full body of Scripture, and they didn't get an opportunity to grow up hearing the stories of God. Many of you have had that, and that is a great blessing. But they did not have that. They did not understand everything of God, and we don't understand everything of God either. Jesus says He's going to use parables for two reasons. He's going to conceal the truth from some people, and He is going to reveal the truth to others. Well, I hope you are one to which He reveals the truth. Those who reject are going to be shielded from the truth. Those that will respond are going to be blessed with the truth. In verse 13, I speak to them in parables. They hear, but they do not hear. They see, but they do not see. Whoever has, to him it will be given, and whoever has not, from him it shall be taken away. Now, I kind of get this, because I talk to you every Sunday, and some of you sit there like, when is he going to get through? I actually hear that in your brain. You know, I can see that's going on. Some of you are saying, I sure am hungry. Some of you are saying, wow, that's true. You know, Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you truth, use it or lose it. I'm going to give you truth, apply it, or it doesn't mean anything to you. And that's true for the truth of God's word whenever you get it. If you hear a truth and you don't put it to work in your life, you'll lose that truth. Ever have that happen to you? Anybody here ever take high school Spanish? Ever habla español? You know, if you took it and you didn't use it, then you can't habla a whole lot of Espanol. And no, sticking O on the end of a name is not Spanish. If you don't use it, it drifts from you. If you don't use your muscles, they atrophy. That's why you need to stay on the move. Physically, you actually need to get out of a chair and do something. Because if you don't physically move, you will one day not be able to physically move. And so everything kind of operates in that way. If you don't use the truth God gives you, you will lose the truth that God has for you. Now, the opposite is true. You receive God's word, you apply God's word, you do God's word, God will give you more of his word. God will just keep filling you up if you keep emptying yourself out. God will keep blessing you and keep directing you. To him who has, he will have an abundance. And so the parables concealed truth from those that rejected the Lord, those that were actually looking for an opportunity to kill the Lord. You see, Jesus was going to stay around for a while because he had a message to give. And if they took what he said and acted against what he said too soon, the timing would not be right for Jesus to be offered. So Jesus spoke in parables. The parables revealed the truth to those that would receive it. And that's what I got to tell you today. You come, you listen to preaching, you don't get anything out of it. It wasn't revealed to you, I guess. There's an opportunity for you to receive God's word. There's an opportunity for you to act on God's word, but you got to be listening. These parables are going to take us kind of behind the scenes to what the mysteries might reveal. There's mysteries in our day. Why isn't everybody going to be saved? Why isn't it just everybody's going to go? When we say God is everybody's father, why isn't God everybody's father? That's not true. He's not. When Jesus came, many didn't want to hear from him. Today, we've got a lot of people that don't want to hear about God. They don't want God to be any part of their life. And you know what? God's not a part of their life. We're surrounded by people who reject God's truth. We get some understanding from this parable as to how that works. Now, the story is really simple. There's a sower. A sower goes out to sow. Now, when they planted seed, they didn't do it like we do today. They didn't have big machines that go and put the troughs in the ground and then after the rows that plants the seed, just one after the other. No, they went out and they took handfuls of seed and they scattered it. They sowed the seed. Big handfuls, and they would sow it, and they would get more handfuls, and they would sow it, and they'd get more handfuls, and they would sow it. That's how you planted in that day. And the seed would just go everywhere. Some would fall on the path, on hardened ground, and it would not sink into that hardened ground, and the birds would come, and they would eat it. Some would fall on stony ground, and on that stony ground, there was no place for a root, so it would die out. Some would fall among weeds and thorns, and the weeds and thorns would just kind of choke the growth of the plant, and it wouldn't produce. Oh, but some would fall on good ground, And when it fell on good ground, that good ground would produce some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold, but it was all produce. So let's look at the seed. The seed is a reference to the Word of God. In verse 19, he says, when anyone hears the Word. Verse 20, the same that hears the Word. Verse 21, because of the Word. Verse 22, he that hears the Word. Get it? The seed is the Word. And in case you didn't get it, you can turn over to Luke 8:11, which says, the seed is the Word of God. Well, God didn't hide that very well. It's very clear that this seed represents His Word. God's Word is a marvelous seed. In God's Word, there is life. In every seed, there is life. Seed is a marvelous thing about the Word of God. It is special. It is special. It is God's Word to you. You realize this is God's love letter to you? This is God's how-to manual for your life? We need to get in God's Word. I know some of you got your Word on the phone, and that's good that you can take it with you like that. But you know, I like for people to actually see a Bible. And I think there's something good about that. But we need to spend time in God's Word however you get it. I've had people ask me what's the best translation. My answer is, which one will you read? There are some that are better than others, yes, but you got to read it. You got to get into it. You got to spend time in God's words. It is special. God's word is errorless. God's word is not full of errors. I know people have said, I've spotted errors in the Bible. Let me tell you, if you spot an error in the Bible, it shows that there's an error in you. Go back to the Bible and you'll find the error goes away. Just study the whole Word of God. And you will find God's Word is errorless. It is eternal. God's Word doesn't pass away. It is the same. God was so smart in how He did this. He chose two languages to put the Bible together. Now, yes, there's Aramaic thrown in there, but basically there's ancient Greek, Koine Greek, ancient Greek, and there's ancient Hebrew. Ancient Hebrew, not modern Hebrew. Old ancient Greek, not modern Greek. They're different. These are languages that sealed themselves, and they're said to be dead languages, but they're not dead. They're very much alive. They're just alive in a different sense. Now, what's the difference? Well, a living language changes. English has changed through the years. My goodness, how it's changed. There are words that I can't say now that I used to be able to say. And if I ever say one of those words, understand it's not because I'm trying to be profane. It's because in my day, it wasn't one of those words. And you know, just think about being bad. When I was a kid, being bad was being bad. You got punished. Then there came a time when being bad was being good. And I have a problem when I talk about people being bad or they're being bad. And I don't know whether they're good or bad, but I can't tell. Because the language is living and the language changes. But God sealed off Hebrew, sealed off Greek, so that we can go back to the original Hebrew and the original Greek, and we can know exactly what it says. God's word does not change. It is eternal. You can stand on it. You can live by it. It is divine. It is divine. And that's a seed, you see. It's divine. It is God's word to us. A seed has life. Each seed has a genetic code. An apple seed is going to produce an apple. A pear seed will produce a pear. A corn seed will produce a corn. A squash seed, a squash. A tomato seed, a tomato, because it comes from the seed with the code for those things. There is life in the seed. The Word of God has a code. Some people thought they were going to get real smart and they started writing about codes in the Bible. Well, there is a code in the Bible. There's a code of eternal life. There's a code of eternal truth. Those are in the Bible. When the Word of God is planted in a human heart, that heart comes to life, and that life is eternal. You need God's Word in you. And in case you didn't know, Jesus said that He's the Word. The Bible tells us that He's the Word. And so we take Jesus, we put Him in our hearts, and we become alive. The seed of God is powerful. The Word of God is so powerful. You know, a seed is powerful. Have you ever seen asphalt with grass growing up through it? Now, asphalt's pretty much a barrier, wouldn't you think? You can see concrete in some plant has found the way to just come up through the concrete and crack the concrete. Why? Because the seed is powerful. God's Word implanted in your heart is so powerful, it brings you to life. So powerful, God's Word can lead you away from sin. So powerful, God's Word can comfort you when everything else is falling around you. Oh, how we need to hold to God's Word. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Jesus said, the word that I speak is spirit and life. So the seed of God's Word is powerful. A seed of God's Word can change your heart, can change your life, can make a difference. A seed produces fruit. God wants to produce fruit in your life, spiritual fruit. And so we see there's nothing wrong here with the seed. The sower. Now verse 18 says, hear you a parable of the sower. Kind of tells us what this is about, doesn't it? Verse 37, he that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Who's the sower? Jesus is the sower. I can imagine Jesus in this boat. He's in a boat. There's solid water around him. I have actually been on the Sea of Galilee in these places, and you've got a natural amphitheater right out from him. He can speak, they can listen, and maybe he looks over to the side and he sees a sower. And they maybe could have all seen a sower over on the hillside, just sowing his seed, continually being faithful, putting the seed out. And Jesus may have taken that to be his message, but they all understood what a sower was. All who share the truth of Jesus Christ are sowers. We join him in sowing. And we need to be putting God's Word out. You need to be putting God's Word out wherever you are. Just casting it out. You don't know who's going to take it. You don't know who's not going to take it. Just put it out there. And so the sower is sowing seed. We are to sow in abundance. He who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. We don't know what it's going to bring forth, but we need to sow seed. When we give a lot of opportunities, a lot of opportunities to receive Jesus, some are going to take it. Some are going to come and they're going to receive Jesus. We need to sow passionately. We need to care about people. We need to be concerned about folks. That's why we want everybody. We don't care who they are. We want everybody to come to our church. You know, they may have a lifestyle that we don't like, but we want everybody to come to our church. They may, they may be all tatted up. They may have hardware sticking in places, you know, and so much that they can't walk by a magnet. But you know, they should be able to come in here and find people who care. Look past the exterior onto a heart that needs Jesus. And God can bless as those people respond to God's Word. We don't know what God will bring forth when his seed is sowed. So sow the seed passionately, sow it patiently. I don't know about you, but I share the gospel and I want people to receive Jesus right then. I want to walk away knowing they got Jesus in their heart. I do not want to walk away having them say, well, let me wait. But you know what? I've learned you got to let them wait. I've learned that, you know, my job isn't winning people to Jesus. My job is putting the seed out so people have what they need to receive Jesus. And that's your job. And that's what Jesus was doing. He was putting the seed out. Be patient. In Ecclesiastes, it says, in the morning, sow you the seed. In the evening, sow you the seed. in the enemy will not withhold your hand. You don't know what will prosper. That's what the scripture says. You know, sometimes you may hesitate telling somebody about Jesus because of who they are, because of how they look, because of their status. Listen, you don't know. We never know who's in a room. We never know what heart needs to respond to Jesus. We don't know what heart is breaking that can only be mended by Jesus. We just need to sow the seed. And as you go through your daily life, you don't know, but you need to be sowing the seed. Now, sometimes we're not faithful in sowing the seed. That's just being honest. We're not. We need to be. Jesus was always faithful. And so there's nothing wrong with the sower. Jesus is the sower. He put the seed out. He put the gospel out for you. He put the gospel out for me. And get this. He sowed seed on all kinds of soil. He did not withhold at all from any. What I'm telling you is God's desire is that everybody be saved. God's desire is that everyone come to salvation. We come to the soil, verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. The soul is the condition of a heart. A human heart has great potential. It just has to receive the right things. The human heart without Christ can be a desert. It will be barren. And your life will not produce. There are four responses. There's the hardened soul. This was the path. You know, they would walk across the field and there would be a hardened path and it would be packed down by the people that had gone across. And you know, the sower didn't sow up to the path and then go to the other side of the path and then finish his casting. No, he just sowed it. He sowed it on the hard soil just like on the other soil. Putting out the opportunity to respond. But because this person has hardened their heart, bird comes and takes the seed away. This is the devil's dirty birds. You know, they come and just take the seed away. And you know, somebody's in a church and the word is given and they're just closed off to it. And they leave and they leave the same way they came in, never changing because they're hardened. Remember Pharaoh hardened his heart? God gave Pharaoh a chance. Let my people go. Pharaoh hardened his heart to God's word. And you know what God did? God hardened his heart more. You going to cut yourself off to me? Okay, you'll be cut off. He just hardened his heart. Listen, don't allow your heart to be hardened. Soften up and listen to God's word and expect that God has something for you. Allow God to penetrate into your heart and move your heart and change your heart. But they walk out, the birds get the seed. Jesus says, harden not your heart. Some fell on stony places. Now this is not rocks all over the ground. That's not what it is, because if there were rocks all over the ground, they would the farmer would clear the rocks. No, this is a shallow path of dirt. Underneath would be a boulder. And from the top, you could not see that. And that's all over Israel, by the way. And so they would cast the seed, and it would go down, but it couldn't have roots because there was no place for the roots to be. This is the person that hears the word. Boy, that's great. That's exciting. I think I need that. That's wonderful. I'll come back and do something about that later. They may even make it down an aisle. You ever wonder about people that come down an aisle and make some kind of decision, then you never see them again? They don't really invite Jesus into their heart. They don't really allow the Lord to control them and be the Lord of their lives. No, they just cut it off, and they don't accept fully, and this person is lost. They may have had an outward response, but they didn't have an inward reality. And as a result, this person's not truly saved. Some people you see, they're a flash, boy. They're gung-ho. They're excited about the news they heard about Jesus. But they never really allow Jesus to penetrate their heart and life. Then there's the weeds and the thorns that choke out the word. These are people that hear the word, but they got a lot going on, and they're hearing the word, but they're thinking about other things, and they're hearing the word, but you know, we got a voting season. Who are you going to vote for? They're hearing the word. Well, you know, I don't know where I'm going to go to lunch. They're hearing the word, but Mary Lou is hurting, and you know, she's got a lot of things. I don't know how I'm going to deal with her. And there's so many things going on in their head. They're not allowing God's word to penetrate. And it just chokes out the truth. The Bible talks about the deceitfulness of riches. People get so tied up in the pursuit of money that they forget the Word of God. And they don't allow the Word of God to reign in their hearts. And so this is a destructive heart. My friend, there is nothing, nothing, nothing more important than responding to Jesus Christ. To allowing God's word to prevail in your heart and life. Not for a moment, for a lifetime. And then there's the good soil. Now, we went through three, and those first three are all lost people. Then we get to the good soil that hears the word, believes the word, accepts the word, and bears fruit. You see, here's the key. You want to know whether somebody's saved? Where's the fruit? There has to be a time in life where there has been fruit. I've had a lot of people that have gotten dunked in a pool, went away, and are they saved? Are they not saved? Well, where's the fruit? At some point in their life, there has to be some action that God has made in their life that has produced fruit. Now, I'm not saying that everybody has won a whole bunch of people to Jesus. I want everybody to do that. But any kind of fruit. Has their attitudes changed? Have they developed some of the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness? Has there been some fruit in your life that shows that Jesus has been a part of your life? The saying goes, if there is no fruit, there is no root. If you can't look in your life and find a moment, a time when God has produced through your life, then it is likely, my friend, that you have never received Jesus at all. Has there been a change of attitude? Has there been a change of activity? I'm not saying you're perfect. I know you're not. You know I'm not. We're on the same page. We're all sinners. But there should be moments in your life when you're doing what God wants you to do if you know Him. And certainly we should sin less, and certainly we should live more for Him. And certainly we will if we follow him. What type of heart do you have? Do you have a hardened heart? If you do, you probably have tuned me out long before now. A hardened heart? Nah, you're not going to change me, preacher. A hardened heart? No, I don't really need Jesus. Do you have an impulsive heart? You hear things, they sound good, but then you let them go because there's so many other things going on. Do you have a choked heart that you just got so many things, and there's so many good things, so many things around you, and your head is going in so many different directions, you never tune in to what God's direction for you is? Or do you have a ready heart? Do you have a heart that God's prepared and you're ready to follow him? You're ready to have him as your Savior. You're ready to give him your heart and life. We need people with ready hearts who are ready to respond to Jesus. And if you're ready to respond to Jesus, oh my, Jesus has brought you a word. Jesus has touched your heart. You're ready to respond. It's time to respond. You can walk down an aisle and say, I want Jesus. And you can respond. We'll pray together. God will seal you into his family. If you have a ready heart, if you are honestly giving yourself to the Lord, he will make changes starting today. And he will bless you. And he will keep you. And he will never leave you. And if you're a believer, you got Jesus. You know you got Jesus. You're heaven bound. You need to be a sower. You need to commit yourself to put the gospel out, because there's people with ready hearts waiting to hear. Let's stand for prayer. Father, right now I ask that you would move within our hearts, that you would draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, in this room there are some with a ready heart. They're ready to receive Jesus, and I pray that they would do so this very moment. They would come forward and just say, I want Jesus. Father, I pray, God, for those with hardened hearts, that you would get some kernel of truth through, that they might respond and soften. I pray, God, for those that have crowded hearts, Father, that you would let the truth push the crowding things away. I pray for those, Father, that are impulsive in nature, Father, that they would find a truth that they would hold on to, and that truth would be Jesus. Father, basically I'm praying that you would turn these souls into ready souls. And Father, I pray for believers. God, we need to have a harvest. We need to produce fruit. We need to cast out, Father, so much seed that those that are ready to respond will hear and respond. And we pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you come as we sing?